This is an ABC podcast.
A year and a half into a pandemic which is not over, a crucial state leader has resigned from politics after leading New South Wales through COVID. It has come out Gladys Berejiklian is officially being investigated for corruption, and it's to do with her ex-boyfriend. Hello, Avani Dias here. And usually at the end of the week, we do the shake-up. I get people's thoughts on the big stories from the week. We are going to do that later on this podcast. First, though, let's get into this crazy news about Gladys Berejiklian.
Hack.
Resigning at this time is against every instinct in my being. Therefore, it pains me to announce that I have no option but to resign from the office of Premier.
On Triple J.
Yeah, for the past year and a half, Gladys Berejiklian has been stepping out to give some pretty worrying and sometimes hopeful news about COVID in New South Wales, which has seen the most cases in the country. This afternoon, though, the body investigating corruption in that state announced it's going to look into her relationship with her ex-boyfriend and the former MP, Daryl Maguire. Very quickly after that announcement, we got an email saying Gladys Berejiklian was making a, quote, significant announcement. And then she stepped out there, her voice was cracking, she seemed to be holding back tears, and she announced she's going to resign as Premier and from politics altogether. Shalila Maduro has been looking into this very, very interesting situation.
I've had to make an extremely difficult decision overnight.
It was Gladys Berejiklian's last press conference as Premier of New South Wales. There'd been murmurings about Miss Berejiklian's future after the state's anti-corruption body, the ICAC, released a statement saying it was investigating her.
I was advised late yesterday afternoon the Independent Commission Against Corruption will today release a public statement in which it will state it is investigating allegations made about me concerning matters relating to the former member for Wagga Wagga.
And at a lunchtime presser, she announced she was resigning.
The people of this state need certainty as to who their leader is during the challenging times of the pandemic. I cannot predict how long it will take the ICAC to complete this investigation. Therefore, it pains me to announce that I have no option but to resign from the office of Premier.
She's quitting politics altogether, so the voters in her electorate in Sydney will have a by-election. That just means they'll vote for a replacement for her outside of the usual state election.
I love my job and I love serving the community, but I have been given no option following the statement that's been issued today.
And look, this hasn't come completely out of the blue. One of Miss Berejiklian's colleagues in New South Wales Parliament, Peter Poulos, let the cat out of the bag during a committee meeting earlier today when he said this on an open mic.
And again, I remind members that the live feed will be continuing throughout that time. So that window into your household, I would suggest mute and...
But she's going to resign at 1 o'clock.
No, we're still on a live feed.
So Orkies. And the ICAC has been looking into Miss Berejiklian's ex for months. So why did this happen now? You could say a Clay target range shot down a premier. Back in August, ABC's 7:30 program reported that Miss Berejiklian had intervened in a $5.5 million funding grant for a sports club in Wagga Wagga in 2016, when she was Treasurer of New South Wales.
You requested a reassessment of a $5.5 million grant that Daryl Maguire stood to gain a political benefit
from. Can you please stand back a bit? Thank you.
Why did you do that? And isn't that a serious conflict of interest, given you were in a secret relationship with him at the time?
Firstly, the proposition you're putting is absolutely ridiculous. And second, all proper processes were followed. And that's all I say on the matter. Thank you.
The person calling for the funding was Daryl Maguire, the MP who represented Wagga in southern New South Wales, who also happened to be Miss Berejiklian's lover at the time. In a press conference last year, she said she'd done nothing wrong.
Every day that I'm in this job, I am here for the people of this state. Never, ever have I done anything wrong in relation to my position. Never, ever have I tolerated anybody else doing anything wrong.
Daryl Maguire quit the New South Wales government in 2018 after a corruption inquiry. He had admitted to seeking payment from a property deal when he was an MP.
We begin with bombshell evidence at the New South Wales corruption inquiry, where Premier Gladys Berejiklian has admitted to having a close personal relationship with the subject of the investigation.
In October last year, the ICAC started its own inquiry into Mr. Maguire, and Ms. Berejiklian was called to give evidence. Later, she clarified that they were secretly lovers for 5 years and that their relationship only stopped months before the ICAC investigation.
Whilst I have made this mistake in my personal life, I intend to serve the people of New South Wales to the best of my ability.
By then, the anti-corruption inquiry had heard secret phone recordings between the pair, like this one.
William tells me we've done our deal. So hopefully that's about half of all that's gone now.
That's good. I don't need to know about that bit.
No, you don't.
Ms. Berejiklian maintained that she'd done nothing wrong and refused to step aside. Until today.
I state categorically, I've always acted with the highest level of integrity.
The position of Premier will now be thrown open to New South Wales Liberal Party MPs, who'll then hold a vote to decide who gets the top job. Prime Minister Scott Morrison wished the departing Premier well.
She has displayed heroic qualities. Heroic qualities as the Premier of New South Wales. I have worked with her extremely closely, and she has always been a vibrant spirit when it comes to our debates, doing the best for the people of New South Wales.
You're listening to Hack on Triple J. Shalala Medora there on that, extremely crazy day. Someone's texted in. I feel really sorry for her on the Triple J Hack Instagram. Judds has commented, can we call this a glad rap? It's pretty good. Pedro's texted, it's good to see the corruption watchdog catch up with Gladys. It's just a shame there isn't a federal ICAC. Yeah, we're going to get into all those issues in a sec. I want to know your thoughts on this situation. How do you feel about Gladys Berejiklian stepping down? Do you have trust in our leaders? 1300 055 36. Call me. Sean Rubenstein Dunlop is an ABC reporter. He has been investigating this situation for months. Sean, thanks for coming on the show. You were at this announcement today. It was pretty dramatic. Gladys was tearing up. There was so much going on. What was it like?
Yeah, it was a dramatic day. I'll start with at midday when I was at home in my fat pants at my computer, not expecting to need to go anywhere beyond my house today. And we got a press release, which landed in my inbox from the Independent Commission Against Corruption, revealing that they are now investigating Gladys Berejiklian and that they will be holding public hearings at an inquiry later this month. So that's just an absolute bombshell, something that we have suspected investigating this for some time this year. But obviously this was huge. And by 1 p.m. we were standing at a press conference in the government offices in Martin Place. And it was very, very short. Gladys Berejiklian walked in. She's known to not show emotion. She's a really stoic figure, as we've all seen through this endless pandemic. But as soon as she walked in, her eyes looked teary. It was something I haven't seen before when it comes to Gladys Berejiklian. And she said she wasn't going to take any questions. She told us she had no choice but to resign because of this investigation, and she's doing it because of her love and respect for the people of New South Wales. She said she had absolutely no regrets. She insisted she'd always acted at the highest level of integrity, and suggested that she was the target of a political campaign, a victim of a political campaign, and also a victim of the ICAC's timing in enforcing this upon her at the worst possible time of this pandemic. Her voice broke when she thanked the people of New South Wales, saying, "We stood alongside each other when the chips were down through drought, bushfires and COVID." I mean, we've all become so familiar with her and looked to her as our leader through this really difficult time. So an enormous shock.
Totally.
As a journo, even though, you know, I've been sort of suspecting this was coming. But I think a massive shock for the public.
Sean, a lot of people would know Gladys Berejiklian because they would watch the COVID press conferences, which have been happening so much over the year and last year and a half. And sometimes you've been popping up in them and trying to ask her questions. And often she's just been dodging you, right? You've been trying to grill her on this issue. Did you expect she would actually take this step and stand down?
Yeah, a few times recently I've been at those press conferences trying to get her to answer questions about what's really going on with this ICAC investigation. I did expect that she would have to resign. I didn't expect it to happen today, you know. We're expecting, you know, the Premier's, the now former Premier, has warned us that we're expecting to face a COVID peak soon when we lift lockdown, and I don't think anyone expected that it would happen today. But as I said, I've been investigating this corruption scandal really over the past year. And me and colleagues, we've uncovered really serious questions around Gladys Berejiklian's integrity and her handling of her knowledge about the dealings of her former secret partner, Darryl Maguire, as well as questions about whether she, you know, she allocated money for projects in his electorate that he sought to profit from. So really, really serious questions. Rumours have been rife in state parliament that she and other ministers have been hauled before private hearings, rather, at the ICAC and asked questions about this. So for me, it was really just a matter of time. But I'm still stunned that it happened today.
Yeah, I think everyone is. Dave from Brisbane's called in. What did you think about Gladys resigning today?
I think that at the end of the day, she's made a decision, and I think you have to put a certain amount of that down to self-preservation. I think that at the end of the day, she knew that regardless of whether she's guilty or not of said accusations, and obviously I haven't been researching the topic in the same depth as the last caller, but I think that looking forward, you would have to accept that you are going to be dragged through the mud regardless, whether you're guilty or not. And you'd have to be sort of thinking, she'd have to be thinking to herself, you know, do I really want to put myself through that?
Or yeah, so she's like, I'm going to get in front of it and resign before, yeah, things get really bad. Dave, that's a really interesting point. Sean, a lot of people are texting you with a lot of love for Gladys. Someone says she's the only shining star of all the premiers. Even if she did do something wrong, I think she has redeemed herself during the pandemic. And she has been really popular, right? But going forward, how is the New South Wales Liberal Party going to keep up that popularity?
It's a really good question, and I think her popularity is another thing that's really surprised everyone. I mean, look at the Gladys fan art on Instagram, which I just love.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's so fun, and I think she's a really compelling figure, and also perhaps the sort of leader that we didn't know we wanted in this really uncertain time. Someone who gives the appearance of being under control, having everything under control and looking after the situation. So it's a really big question for the Liberal Party and for the state government, who will lead next. You know, I've been talking to backbenchers and ministers behind the scenes in the last few months, and they've been getting anxious about her future, but also have been aware the whole time that you know, she's sort of the most popular person they've got, even despite these really serious questions about what she knew about her former partner's corrupt activities, and also whether she, you know, whether she tried to give him a financial benefit. But there are two figures now that are sort of seen as front runners to state Liberal Party politicians. One's the Treasurer, Dominic Perrottet. The other is Rob Stokes. And it's really a choice. Well, if these two do remain the front runners, and it'll be Tuesday when the Liberal Party is set to decide who the new Premier will be. If it's a choice between these two, it's a choice between someone who's very right-wing, Dominic Perrottet, and Rob Stokes, who's a lot more moderate. And it's the moderate faction of the party that dominates in New South Wales. So it'll be their choice.
And even though this is happening in New South Wales, who that leader is will have repercussions across the country to do with things like COVID and so on. So it's obviously a pretty big impact. Sean, before we let you go, someone's texted, we need an ICAC down in Canberra. We must clean up corruption. What do you feel like this whole Gladys scenario tells us about how we hold our leaders to account?
Well, I think the New South Wales ICAC has for years really put New South Wales politicians and public servants under the spotlight and claimed really big scalps, as you said, like two former premiers, now three. And I think the absence of those kinds of scandals in federal politics doesn't tell us that those things don't exist there. They're not being dug up. And, you know, in New South Wales, we have, as taxpayers, we pay this organisation to investigate our politicians and make sure they're doing the right thing. We don't have that in Canberra.
Sean Rubinstein Dunlop, actually, I've seen you going viral on TikTok, bouncing Gladys Berejiklian, so keep up the good work.
Pretty excited. I don't have TikTok, but maybe it's time to check it out.
Thanks so much for chatting to us.
No worries.
Someone's texted in, Gladys made a bad choice in a boyfriend. Someone else who hasn't been screwed over by a partner, just hope she hasn't done anything wrong.
It's the Shake-Up Hack on Triple J.
All right, this is Hack. I'm Avani Dias. It is the Shake-Up. For the rest of the show, we're going to chat through this crazy news day and some other stories from the week. I want your calls. What do you think of Gladys Berejiklian resigning? Do you think, yeah, we can trust our leaders? 1300 055 36. We're joined by two guests as well. Gamilaroi lawyer Jeffrey Winters is here. He also ran for the Liberals a few years back. We're also with Rahel Davies from the Bittersweet podcast. Thanks to both of you for joining us. Jeffrey, I want to go to you first. A lot of people are sympathising with Gladys on the text line at the moment. Some people said they nearly started crying when she was resigning. But all this while, she's accused of corruption. What does that tell you about Gladys as a politician?
Well, I think Sean hit it on the head in that she's not the first person you think of as having cut through, because she is quite bland and stoic and known as a bit of a nerd and a workhorse. But what we saw during her premiership was this unexpected connection with people. I guess the pandemic certainly created a unique environment for that to be developed. And I think you're seeing the outpour of emotion be a reflection of that. And again, Sean and other parts of the package up front talked about this. We've all been in a very unique and uncertain period for the last year and a half to 2 years. And that has been the face and the name who's given us certainty. You know, everyone says, you know, put your mask on because Gladys says to do it, or Arnie Gladys is kind of the throwaway line. But there has been something about that. There's been a certain leadership and comfort withdrawn from that. I think the other part to that is, and this was touched on earlier as well, we are a state that is quite used to the corruption watchdog doing its job. And so for us, there's probably less of a outrageous reaction to this occurring, because we can see the process and we know the process and we understand it. But there is also this sense of, we do see leaders lose their position for things that other people might think are slightly unfair or maybe not bad enough, et cetera, et cetera. And given these are just accusations or even just an investigation at this stage, there probably is a sense also of, we might end up in a situation where we've lost one of the best in history to something that never occurred in terms of corruption. So I think that that's combining. And also, it's a really moody, windy, wet day in Sydney, so everyone probably wants to have a cry.
So many people are sending through love for Gladys. Someone says she's a strong woman who stuffed up. It's pretty clear and simple. Someone also sad to see her go. She's been leading the country through this shit show pandemic. Rahel, you're in Victoria. How do you feel about Gladys and her resigning? Because all over the country, we've been seeing a lot of her, right?
Yeah, definitely. Even coming from Victoria, I've seen a lot of Gladys all over my TikTok, all over my Instagram. And although there has been a little bit of, for Melburnians, kind of we're on the Dan Andrews side, but there's definitely a lot of love for Gladys. And I'm just really heartbroken as to like what's happening right now. I think it's really sad. And it would just be such a horrible position to be in as a leader.
Jeffrey, why do you think it is that people do feel that kind of sympathy for her? And it's interesting because on a federal level, for the past, you know, just as examples in the past couple of years, we've seen Bridget McKenzie, who is a federal minister, accused of things like offering grants to her electorate, the sports rorts scandal. We've seen accusations around sexual assault. There isn't that same standard at a federal level, right?
No, there isn't. But I guess that there's one other difference, is that New South Wales has gone through an extraordinary period of growth and goodness in a time when you wouldn't expect it. And a lot of that is credited towards her. I mean, it was quite interesting when she was first brought into the picture with Darren Maguire and ICAC and this, what at the time was shocking revelation that she was in a relationship with him, came out, that was the first time where we saw this weird Gladys effect, because people's first reaction wasn't, what's her involvement, what's going wrong? It was, oh, poor Gladys, she's being screwed over by a man who hasn't been screwed over by a man. And that was a really phenomenal. And often we talk, you know, you look at the Julia Gillard experience with a female leader, we can rightfully say as a country we probably did treat her poorly, and part of that was to do with gender bias, whereas we haven't necessarily seen that here. We've seen something very different where there's been a huge solidarity for her, particularly when it came to the Darren Maguire situation, where people have said, no, 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 this is a guy who's clearly, you know, got issues, is a buffhead. This is a person we like who's doing very good job as Premier. Why on earth was she involved? Oh, well, we all make mistakes, and back her in. Mm. I mean, I think the context of not having a federal ICAC is a good question, but what today has really highlighted is watchdogs of corruption do a job and do it very well, but this one in New South Wales has, you know, it's on a journey like every great institution, because you lose a leader before there's any finding of corruption. Now, that often is a good thing, because if the person ends up being corrupt, you wouldn't want them in power for any longer period of time. But what about those people who don't end up being found corrupt, who then have to forego the position? And to be honest, I think New South Wales is feeling, why do we have to give up such a good premier right now? Not to say the options lining up aren't good options, but I think we were pretty happy with the one we had.
Well, it is actually mind-blowing at the moment how many young people are getting in touch and just praising her. Someone says, Gladys has done a great job under COVID, but she did the right thing and left. Thanks, Gladys. It's been great. Oliver's called in. You're a Gladys fan too. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, I've supported Gladys. I'm a Liberal voter. At the end of the day, I'm happy that she's resigned. She's taken onus. She's resigned her position, and she's just left it up to the public to decide what the Liberals will do from now on. So,
Oliver, she's accused of some pretty serious stuff over corruption, but does that change your mindset about her at all? Obviously, we can't comment on those allegations, but has this changed her in your mind at all?
Not particularly. I find Gladys, she, at the end of the day, she's been a premier in throughout all this COVID situation. She stood up in front of, you know, the whole of New South Wales every day at, you know, the 11 o'clock session, and she's fronted us. I think she's done a good job. I understand that she's, you know, taken the wrong position in her boyfriend preferences, and I'm disappointed in that regards. But I feel, you know, she's stood up in front of us all. So,
yeah, fair enough, Oliver. Thanks so much for calling in. Before we move on, Rahel, how do you feel about our leaders? Do you have trust in them that they're not going to act in a corrupt way, and that they will be held accountable if they do?
I think it's tricky with politics. I mean, I don't have a specific opinion. I do have trust in our leaders. I think especially with everything that's been happening with the pandemic and the way that people like Gladys and even Dan Andrews have been able to handle it. But I do think it's really important that in general, especially people in leadership, are held accountable for their actions. And I hope that's something that continues to happen.
Yeah, I think everyone can agree with that. Mackenzie in Geelong has texted, on a personal level, I feel for Gladys. On a professional level, she only has herself to blame.
Ha! No surprises here. This is what we agreed to do, that we said to Australians, we get to 80%, you can leave the country and you can come back again.
On Triple J.
All right, let's talk about getting out of the country, because that's the other big news today. While all this Gladys Berejiklian stuff was going on, the Prime Minister announced the international border will reopen for each state as they hit 80% double dosed. Fully vaxxed Australians can come home and quarantine for a week instead of having to pay thousands of dollars for hotel quarantine. And the Prime Minister has said commercial flights will restart. Call me. Where do you want to travel overseas? And how do you feel about that concept after having not done it for months? 1-300-055-36. Call in. Rahel, are you ready to go overseas? How are you feeling about it?
Oh, I'm ready. I've been ready since March. So, yeah, I'm feeling great about it.
And what's first on your list? Do you have family overseas? Do you want to go on a holiday? What's the vibe?
Yeah, well, I do have family overseas in Europe, but I definitely – so Europe would be my first destination, and I'd love to go to Portugal. There's a music festival there called Afro Nation. So that would be kind of my first go-to location.
Are you worried at all about going to countries where COVID is just spreading rapidly, perhaps where the health system may not be as good? Does that enter your mind more than it would have before the pandemic?
To be honest, it isn't really something that I focus on or I've been thinking too much about. Maybe once it gets closer to the date of me to actually travel, it will be more of a concern. But I think my priority is getting out of Melbourne because I've been feeling really claustrophobic now for about 2 years.
Jeffrey, where do you stand? Are you booking an overseas holiday?
I've booked one.
Really?
Yep. I came home from London because of the pandemic in March of 2020. And I've been, if for nothing else, there's still possessions I need to bring home. I first came home thinking it would just be a short trip and this was going to pass. And of course, we've seen what's unfolded. And I took the leap this week in booking a flight to London for a short trip, partly for work, partly for personal reasons. And I think it's great. It's interesting you asked a question about the health systems. I hadn't thought about it till you said it just then. But, there are countries where you think, and I don't mean to point anyone out, but think about the US versus some other Western developed countries where we get very, reciprocal, great healthcare in response. I probably wouldn't want to go to the US and get COVID and have a bad reaction right now because I'm not going to be a priority on a stressed system. So that is a point I hadn't thought about.
Totally.
But yeah, I can't wait to go. And this is a great... The poor Prime Minister, he can't get a bloody break. He finally has a good piece of news and then his best friend in New South Wales completely pisses on his media market today.
He got cut off 20 minutes into it as well. He was going on a tirade about travel, was really excited about it, and then it's time for Gladys's news.
I promised you this and here it is. And then they're like, sorry, PM, I'm going to cut to New South Wales.
Rahel, the interesting part about this, I guess, is that we're weirdly getting news that the international border is going to open, but we still don't know whether the state borders are going to open in time for Christmas for some states. Mm. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's so crazy. It's wild. I think it makes me feel like Australia almost at this point is a continent and each state is a different country. And it's just we're so separated right now. So I really feel for people, for example, that are from states that aren't going to open and they're not going to be able to go see their families, not going to be able to go to major events. So yeah, I think it's really weird, but it's not the strangest thing that's happened.
Someone's texted, so pumped for an overseas holiday. Martina has texted, I'm so happy about the news, borders opening, my whole family's in Europe and I felt like being held prisoner for the past year. I was in favour of this measure at first, but it's been far too long. I'm excited to see my family overseas as well in Sri Lanka. I think a lot of people are excited for massive reunions. I think that's the thing that's top of my list for sure. Jeffrey, look, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I feel like these kinds of announcements happen a lot. The federal government's like, woo, big news, things are opening up.
I know.
And then the states are just I know, but we need to think about it, right? Because we're all getting excited and dreaming of these holidays. And then the states are kind of being weird. Even Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk today was like, I didn't even know this was going to happen. No one told me. I'm not in favour of it. Are you worried won't even happen?
Well, first, I don't think the idea that the federal government's not talking to the states is any longer a newsworthy point.
Yeah, it's very clear. It just happens.
That we were a federation, and I think that Rael's right. It feels more like a kind of European Union situation now where it's like, oh, did we not? Okay, sorry about that, guys. Yeah, I think there's a high risk this doesn't happen. But at the end of the day, 80% vaccination rate is the way in which the rest of the world is getting on with normal. If that's not going to be how it works here, then someone's going to have to come up with a whole other scheme which explains how we get out of this. Because it's either 80% like the rest of the world or are we just staying down here? And I mean, I don't think that'll be popular.
Hack on Triple J.
That was lawyer Jeffrey Winters, who also ran for the Liberals a few years ago. And we were also joined by the host of the Bittersweet podcast, Rahel Davies. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. I'll catch you next time.